So today we are very fortunate that we are having His Grace Ram Girdhari Prabhu to enlighten us on Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Prabhuji, are you present on the call?
Hare Krishna Mataji, yes, I am present.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanavat Pranam, all the rest to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much Prabhuji for giving a valuable association. Now you can take over the class, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्तवृंद. सो टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम चैतन्य चरितामृत मध्य लीला चैप्टर 21 फ्रॉम द फर्स्ट वर्स ऑनवर्ड्स. द टॉपिक इज द ऑपुलेंस एंड द स्वीटनेस ऑफ लॉर्ड श्री कृष्ण. अगत्येक गतिम नत्वा हीनार्तादिक साधकं श्रीचैतन्यं लिकां यस्य माधुर्यैश्वर्य शीकरम्. ट्रांसलेशन: ऑफरिंग माय ओबेसेंसेस अंटू श्री चैतन्य महाप्रभु, लेट मी डिस्क्राइब अ पार्टिकल ऑफ हिज ऑपुलेंस एंड स्वीटनेस. ही इज मोस्ट वैल्युएबल फॉर अ फॉलन कंडीशन सोल बिरफ्ट ऑफ स्पिरिचुअल नॉलेज, एंड ही इज द ओनली शेल्टर फॉर होज for those who do not know the real goal of life. Text 2. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. All glories to Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Nityananda Prabhu. All glories to Advaita Charya. And all glories to all the devotees of श्री चैतन्य महाप्रभु. टेक्स्ट 3. सर्वस्वरूपेर धाम परव्योम धामे पृथक पृथक वैकुंठ सभा नाहिक गणने. श्री चैतन्य महाप्रभु कंटिन्यूड: ऑल द ट्रांसेंडेंटल फॉर्म्स ऑफ द लॉर्ड आर सिचुएटेड इन द स्पिरिचुअल स्काई. दे प्रिसाइड ओवर स्पिरिचुअल प्लैनेट्स इन दैट अबोड, बट देर इज नो काउंटिंग those Vaikuntha planets. Text 4. Shata Sahasra Ayutya Laksha Koti Yojana Eka Eka Vaikunthera Vistara Varnana. The breadth of each Vaikuntha planet is described as 8 miles multiplied by 100, by 1000, by 10,000, by 100,000 and by 10 million. In other words, each Vaikuntha planet is expanded beyond our ability to measure. Text 5. Sabha Vaikuntha Vyapaka Ananda Chinmaya Parishada Sadaishwarya Purna Sabahaya. Each Vaikuntha planet is very large and each is made of spiritual bliss. The inhabitants are all associates of the Supreme Lord and they have full opulence like the Lord Himself. This is how Vaikuntha planets are all situated. Text 6. Ananta Vaikuntha Eka Eka Deshe Yara Sei Paravyoma Dhamerake Karu Vishtara. Since all the Vaikuntha planets are located in a certain corner of the spiritual sky, who can measure the spiritual sky? Text 7. Ananda Vaikuntha Paravyoma Yara Dala Shreni Sarvopari Krishna Loka Karnikara Ghani. The shape of the spiritual sky is compared to a lotus flower. The topmost region of that flower is called the whorl, and within that whorl is Krishna's abode. The petals of the lotus flower consist of many Vaikuntha planets. Text 8. यही मत षडैश्वर्यस्थान अवतार ब्रह्मा शिवा अंतनापाय जीवकोंशार. Each Vaikuntha planet is full of spiritual bliss, complete opulence and space, and each is inhabited by incarnations. Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva cannot estimate the length and breadth of the spiritual sky and the Vaikuntha planets. How can ordinary living entities begin to imagine them? Koveti Bhuman Bhagavan Paratman Yogeshwarotir Bhavatas Trilokyam Kvava Katamva Kativa Kadeti Vistarayan Kridashi Yoga Mayam. O Supreme Great One, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, O Super Soul, Master of all mystic power, your pastimes are taking place continuously in these worlds. But who can estimate where, how, and when you are employing your spiritual energy and performing your pastimes? No one can understand the mystery of these activities. Purport. This verse is quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.21. Text number 10.
Yeimata Krishnera Divya Sadguna Ananta Brahma Shiva Sanaka Adinapaya Yandra Anta.
Translation: the spiritual qualities of Krishna are so unlimited. Great personalities like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and the four Kumaras cannot estimate the spiritual qualities of the Lord. So, we will discuss from verse number 1 till 10 of this chapter.
Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. So we are starting a new chapter today in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela. So this is chapter 21st, which talks about the opulence and sweetness of Lord Krishna. This chapter is the continuation of the conversation Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is having with Sanatana Goswami. Chapter 20 got over where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained about different forms of the Supreme Lord. And he mentioned that it is definitely a benefit and an advantage for those who hear these wonderful pastimes. And Mahaprabhu explains that those who heard this are very, very fortunate. That's the last thing that Mahaprabhu said. Whoever hears or recites these descriptions of the expansions of Krishna's body is certainly a very fortunate man. Although this is very difficult to understand, one can nonetheless acquire some knowledge about the different features of Krishna's body. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very elaborately explaining about the transcendental form of the Supreme Lord. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that it is not so easy to understand. And he says that even if it's difficult to understand, still we should put our endeavor in hearing about the transcendental forms of the Supreme Lord. So this chapter is going to be continuing to discuss about the Lord's abode and various other finer components which we are hearing from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. Goloka namini jadamni tale cha tasya devi mahesha haridama suteshu teshu tete prabhavani chaya vihitascha yena govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. Brahmaji says, already based on the drishti, based on the vision that he had seen, so he had glorified the spiritual abode, and according to his explanation, he is explaining where the spiritual planet is existing. But now, in this chapter, we are hearing from the Supreme Lord himself, and this is a bona fide authorized explanation on how the spiritual world is positioned, looking like. So this chapter is going to be pretty interesting and very, very informative for those of us who are interested in the deeper subject matters of Krishna consciousness. This very first 10 shlokas that we just read is forming the premises and the setting the scene for Mahaprabhu's explaining Krishna's transcendental abode. Krishnadas Kaviraja Goswami is explaining that this spiritual knowledge, or this knowledge about Krishna's abode, Krishna's forms, Krishna's pastimes, are not accessible by anybody and everybody. He says that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy is for the most fallen soul, and Mahaprabhu is the only shelter for such people. So we have discussed in the past that how Mahaprabhu is a shelter, and to receive Mahaprabhu's mercy, the only qualification is to understand that we are disqualified. So in our today's discussion, we are going to have some set of 4 points by which we will understand what stops us, or what stopped us in our journey to progress in Krishna consciousness. In a sense, here Krishnadas Kaviraja Goswami is explaining that if Brahma and Lord Shiva can't understand the transcendental abode of Krishna, who else can understand? If Kumaras and great Vaishnavas couldn't understand, who else could understand? So, these technical information about the spiritual abode, about how long it is, how far it is, how great it is, how deep it is, how transcendental they are very much confidential, and they are very much important for us to understand. But all the more it is important is, what do we do so that we can get much more deeper into these leelas? Because the spiritual qualities of Krishna are explained here as unlimited. But we don't realize them as unlimited, because when we read them, when we hear them, when we associate with them, we see them as pretty obvious ones. Oh, these are all things that are, you know, sounding very normal to us. Krishna is beautiful, so I know that. Krishna is opulent, I know that. So, we have a very strong understanding that we can understand certain things, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself says that we can't understand. And eventually he is going to explain what do we do to still take part in this. So it is a very interesting spiritual controversy, or you can say spiritual contradicting statement. At one place, Mahaprabhu says, even Brahma, Lord Shiva, Kumaras can't understand what is being spoken about. And he is also giving us a ways and means and going to explain that by doing what we can participate in Krishna Leela, by doing what we can enter the spiritual abode, by doing what we can definitely try to assimilate the Siddhanta of Krishna consciousness. So in our discussion today, we are going to discuss some set of 4 points which will help us to assess, analyze ourselves and our situations, because of which we are not able to exactly relish the Chaitanya Leela or the details of Krishna consciousness. And probably in the next session or the future session, we will talk about what do we do to overcome that. This we have done time and again from different perspectives. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Siddhanta is very simple. Chant, dance, serve, and go back home, back to Godhead. But this simple concept of Krishna consciousness is very difficult because we are complicated people. And because of our complicated nature, there are different explanations given by acharyas in different contexts. So our discussion today might be another perspective. There are different perspectives that we have drawn in the past. So this is something that we need to work on, because of which Krishna consciousness sometimes sounds irrelevant or impossible or out of context. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami warns, makes a very powerful statement by saying that it's glorious to recite, difficult to understand. And Mahaprabhu also says the same thing. And Srila Prabhupada encourages us, we should read Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. And when giving a introduction, summary to this 21st chapter, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describing Krishna Loka, spiritual sky, causal ocean, and the material world, which consists of innumerable universes. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also describes Lord Brahma's interview with Krishna at Dwaraka and Lord's curbing the pride of Brahma. So, this chapter is also going to describe about Krishna's pastimes with Brahma. In this chapter, the author of the Chaitanya Charitamrita has presented some nice poems about the pastimes of Krishna and Krishna's super excellent beauty. And throughout the rest of the chapter, our intimate relationship, Sambandha with Krishna, is described. This is the summary Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives about this 21st chapter. So we are going to discuss about spiritual abode. We are going to discuss about Krishna's conversation with Brahma and how he curbed Brahma's pride. Some glorification of Krishna's pastimes in the form of a poem. And finally, this chapter also explains about intimate relationship, sambandha, with Krishna. So, the four points that we are going to discuss today will form the basis, will help us to properly assimilate what is coming our way. The first and foremost is about, there is something that became non-existent in our lives, because of which we have lost taste in Krishna consciousness. Krishna is our master. We are Krishna's servants. Krishna is our Prabhu. We are His Prakriti. Krishna is Purusha. Krishna is the enjoyer and we are the enjoyed. So Srila Prabhupada says, somewhere down the line, we have become unchaste in our behavior, in our own existence. That unchastity of us has caused us to get trapped in a vicious circle wherein we are not able to understand Krishna properly. So the four points that we are going to discuss are, what made us unchaste? So this is an analysis on chastity of ourselves. Chastity as a quality is not only with respect to somebody's sexuality. Chastity as a quality is all about, how do I handle Krishna's resources? So the first 10 verses which defines us about the spiritual abode, about the shape of the spiritual abode, about the understanding somebody can have, or who can have, who cannot have, about the spiritual abode, has got a basis that when I am a chaste, nice devotee, I will be given access to them. When I am unchaste, I am rejected from them. So today, we will talk about four perspectives which makes us unchaste, and these four qualities can be put in every context possible. So chastity can be defined from three different levels. Chastity from the perspective of social perspective, chastity from the perspective of dharma, and chastity from the perspective of bhakti. If a person is practicing bhakti, then he is expected to be socially as well as dharmically chaste. We cannot enjoy Krishna consciousness with our unchaste propensity. So let me go from the reverse angle of what it means to be unchaste in devotion. Unchaste in devotion means not obeying the orders of the spiritual master and considering what belongs to Krishna as ours. As we always speak, Krishna and Krishna's. If Krishna's, which is we all, start to assume, behave in a way that we are Krishna, then we become an unchaste person. Ravana is called a demon because he wanted to enjoy Sita Mata without Ram. So Sita is goddess of fortune, meant to serve the Supreme Lord. The moment I try to enjoy her, independent of the Supreme Lord, then I become Ravana. So these three levels of chastity, when I do not obey the orders of the spiritual master, when I try to enjoy Krishna's resources as mine, then I am becoming unchaste in bhakti. What is unchastity in dharma? Every varna ashrama has got a responsibility. If we become unchaste in our responsibilities as a brahmachari, as a grihastha, as a vanaprastha, as a sannyas, if we don't follow the principles delineated and try to live like a uncivilized person, not upholding dharmic acts, then we are unchaste from dharmic viewpoint. And unchastity from the social viewpoint is definitely about how do I conduct myself in terms of my character? Whom do I live with? Whom do I stay away from? What am I supposed to do and what am I not supposed to do? It's much more of the way I handle myself. Srila Prabhupada writes in the first canto, 9th chapter, text number 26 in Srimad Bhagavatam. The Varnashram Dharma is prescribed for the civilized human being just to train him to successfully terminate human life. Self-realization is distinguished from the life of the lower animals engaged in eating, sleeping, fearing and mating. Bhishma Deva advised for all human beings 9 qualifications. 1. Not to become angry. 2. Not to lie. 3. To equally distribute wealth. 4. To forgive. 5. To beget children from one's legitimate wife. 6. To be pure in mind and hygienic in body. 7. Not to be inimical toward anyone. 8. To be simple. And 9. To support servants or subordinates. One cannot be called a civilized person without acquiring the above mentioned preliminary qualities. Besides this, the brahmanas, the administrative men, the mercantile community and the laborer classes must acquire special qualities in terms of occupational duties mentioned in all Vedic scriptures. For the intelligent men, controlling the senses is the most essential qualification. It is the basis of morality. Sex indulgence, even with a legitimate wife, must also be controlled, and thereby family control will automatically follow. An intelligent man abuses his great qualification if he does not follow the Vedic way of life. This means he must seriously make a study of the Vedic literatures, especially of the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita. For learning Vedic knowledge, one must approach a person who is sent person engaged in devotional service. He must not do things which are forbidden in the Shastras. A person cannot be a teacher if he drinks or smokes. In the modern system of education, the teacher's academic qualification is taken into consideration without evaluation of his moral life. Therefore, the result of education is the misuse of high intelligence in so many ways. This is from 1st Canto, 9th chapter, text number 26, one of the paragraphs. So, Srila Prabhupada very clearly explains for us to be a civilized human being, for us to terminate the human form of life, for us to get into self-realization, that is something as a prerequisite. There are many, many more things that we need to do. There are prerequisites that he is suggesting. Those 9 points. This explains that a person is called Muni, one who is not talking about prajalpa and worldly conversation. And a person is called Mahamuni when he is talking about the subject matter of Krishna consciousness. So this 10 verses and this particular chapter is going to glorify or going to give us an opportunity, if we glorify, to become Mahamuni. By just sincerely practicing Krishna consciousness and engaging oneself in hearing and reading Shastras, as Srila Prabhupada writes, we will become Mahamuni. And when we become Mahamuni, we have a hope to participate in Krishna Leela at some point in time. Whether we may be able to understand Krishna's abode, whether we may be able to understand Krishna's form, whether we will be able to explain what is going to be explained by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but for sure, we will be chosen by Krishna to be taken as with Him. So our endeavor in life should be to become a chaste devotee from all perspectives. So if I am a chaste devotee in Krishna consciousness, naturally, dharmically and socially, I will be chaste. So hence, chastity in Krishna consciousness is something very important. So this particular point that I am going to discuss is from a lecture series that I have given on chastity. It's a 6-session on chastity. So this is from one of those sessions. Those points on chastity that we discussed in 6 sessions had a very detailed, elaborate analysis on chastity as a characteristics. But here, the reason these 4 points are shared is unless we are absolutely clean, our entry in the spiritual world is difficult. And absolute cleanliness refers to purity of purpose, not perfection in what we do. So Krishna consciousness is about how pure we are in our attitude and purpose, and Brahma is going to get a very interesting situation later. You will read in this chapter where his pride was crushed and the purity of purpose was established. So Krishna, time and again in our own lives, he will help us by crushing our ego, by crushing our pride, and make us a chaste devotee. So these 4 aspects that we are going to discuss are the root cause why we are not remaining chaste in our own devotional life. And these root causes are not exhaustive enough, but it is good enough to get a perspective of chastity in Krishna consciousness. Mahaprabhu is going to reveal something which is transcendental, which is superlative, which is scientific, and which even materialistic people can't understand. This doesn't fit in any material calculation. Hence, this knowledge can only be revealed and enjoyed. Analysis is not possible. The moment we get into an analysis phase, we will fail. Hence, this chapter, Prabhupada time and again explains that how this knowledge is unlimited, this knowledge is non-comprehensible, this knowledge is superlative, and this knowledge is beyond our intelligence. Hence, this chapter, when we go through different shlokas, we will enjoy and we'll go back to our basics of how to be a chaste devotee. And Krishnadas Kaviraja Goswami has time and again proven how this chastity, or how his dedication, how this Chaitanya Charitamrita was possible. And he reveals that every time in the beginning of the chapter as well as the end of the chapter, by offering his obeisances to all the six Goswamis, by offering his obeisances to Panchatattva, and ending the chapter by offering his gratitude to his predecessors because of whom this knowledge was revealed. So, the first point because of which a person suffers, the person try to go through a crisis in his devotional life, is because of non-existence of culture of respect and respect for culture. So, if somebody is coming from a devotional background, somebody is brought in a devotional family, if somebody is given a spiritual education from childhood, for him, these subject matters, oh, how this spiritual abode could be so huge, how this spiritual abode is so long, so far, so wide, so deep, he will have a natural inclination and he will be able to naturally appreciate, like the cobbler and the Brahmana story. The cobbler could naturally understand when Narada Muni said that I saw Narayana and he was putting an elephant through the eye of a needle. The Brahmana was laughing at Narada Muni that he was making fun of him. But then the cobbler started crying. And the difference in understanding is that the cobbler had a very strong faith, very strong values, very strong attachment towards the Supreme Lord, that he could appreciate what the Lord was doing. So, the first reason why Acharyas, as well as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and everybody else, says that we are not able to comprehend the subject matter because this is anti-material. This is beyond materialistic perspective. And one of the things that will help us to raise above the materialistic perspective is the culture of respect and the respect for culture. And unfortunately, this culture of respect and respect for culture, both of them have been replaced by a culture of equality. We consider everything as equal, at par with us. And the sense of equality has crushed our surrender, has crushed our ability to learn from superiors, has crushed to comprehend beyond what we could see in front of us. So that is why we are frogs in the well and we are not able to comprehend the spiritual abode. So the seed, the basis, the important reason why we are not able to grow up. Sometimes we see devotees, even after practicing Krishna consciousness, couldn't comprehend certain things. Sometimes we, as practicing devotees, even after being repeatedly told on certain things, we are not able to manage practicing them, and that is because of the non-existence of culture of respect and respect for culture. And our education system, our associations, as well as that knowledge that we had heard from non-bona fide source, hearing from a non-authoritative source, hearing from a relative source, makes us doubt, makes us question the Siddhanta itself. So, my first realization is about to make us become chaste. We need to restore our culture of respect and respect for culture. And Srila Prabhupada writes that till that point in time, we give importance to these. How can we think of Brahmana? How can we think of becoming a Vaishnava? So how do we move progress in Krishna consciousness? And hence, we should always make sure that the basics of Krishna consciousness in our life is never compromised. In Nectar of Instruction preface, it's a very famous reference I always talk, where Srila Prabhupada writes that if somebody wants to practice Krishna consciousness in all spiritual affairs, one's first duty is to control his mind and senses. Unless one controls his mind and senses, one cannot make any advancement in spiritual life. Everyone within this material world is engrossed in the modes of passion and ignorance. One must promote himself to the platform of goodness, sattva guna, by following the instructions of Rupa Goswami, and then everything concerning how to make further progress will be revealed. So this knowledge that is getting revealed to Sanatana Goswami is because of his culture of respect and respect for culture. So our duty and responsibility is to somehow or other to go back to the basics, go back to the foundational aspects of Krishna consciousness to understand the transcendental aspect of Krishna consciousness. The second aspect which are crushing our basis of existence, of being a devotee, and the root cause of why we are not able to be a chaste or a bona fide devotee and still wobbling, why we are still superficial, according to my limited reflections, or instead of we as practicing devotees talk about transcendental morality, we are talking about transcendental to morality. So we as devotees don't have a basics of ethics and morality, some values, because of which our spiritual life gets much more stronger and much more stable. Somewhere or other, our spiritual life has become a sentimental agenda, and we practice Krishna consciousness purely from a superficial level, and the depth of Krishna consciousness is never perceived. We see lots of sentiments and emotions amongst devotees when we read Chaitanya Charitamrita, but they are not coming from senses perspective. They are coming from a very strong inheritance and very strong following the footsteps of the predecessor acharyas. So the attachment towards Krishna, attachment towards fellow devotees, attachment towards the process, attachment towards the holy name, attachment towards the spiritual abode, attachment towards the deities, attachment towards the pastimes, all these things are not just some philosophical treatise. They are actually meant for our own transformation, and we will not be able to understand them on a shaky ground. So many a times, after being in Krishna consciousness for 25-30 years also, we get our basics shaken up. We still don't understand the basics of Krishna consciousness and what to speak of understanding the spiritual abode. So I thought you know, in today's session, let me talk about this basic chastity for Krishna consciousness. Hence, after being in Krishna consciousness for such a long time, let's learn to be chaste devotees. Not only from following four regulative principles, which is the basic, but application of this four regulative principles in our consciousness and life much beyond bodily concept. Because four regulative principles, what we take as a vow during initiation, mainly refers to the basic premises on which we should act. But if we extrapolate and go deeper, it helps about our consciousness, our body, our mind, our soul, our existence, and hence this transcendental morality, or we need to talk about, we are not here about talking about basic morality. We need to talk about some ethics, some values, some principles as practicing devotees, so that we move one inch closer to Krishna and definitely take up this Krishna consciousness in a very serious spirit, so that we eventually get qualified to go to spiritual abode. In a spiritual abode that is being spoken about here is created where a Vaishnava is glorifying the Supreme Lord. That's the reason there is no count. These unlimited spiritual Vaikuntha planets are being spoken about. It is not because that nobody can give a number, but because as there are unlimited number of devotees, and wherever they are, you know, glorifying the Supreme Lord, wherever the Supreme Lord's deities are established, wherever Vaishnavas are preaching, that place becomes dham and Krishna manifests in that place. But the reason is, unfortunately, we are not able to see them because of our own being unchaste. So hence my second realization for being unchaste is about we giving not so importance to our ethics and morality. This is very basic, and that's the reason I read this purport from 1st Canto 9, chapter 26. Srila Prabhupada says in that, what does Prabhupada says? Prabhupada writes that by, it is the basis of morality. He says that for the intelligent man, controlling the senses is the most essential qualification. It is the basis of morality. So when Prabhupada talking about principles of Bhagavatam, principles of a Bhagavata, principles of a devotee, he's talking about morality, because if we are not even moral, then how do we talk about reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Shastra, etc.? So hence, as devotees, we need to learn to follow some principles of ethics and morality. And this is not from bodily perspective, this is from Krishna conscious perspective. We cannot generalize, rationalize, I am doing things for Krishna's purpose, and in the name of Krishna, we try to have our own enjoyment. So the third principle that I want to speak about is about the non-existence of truth, truthfulness and honesty in one's existence. And this truthfulness and honesty is replaced by duplicity and diplomacy in hypocrisy in life. So this hypocrisy and duplicity is now the way of life. And because of that, in our own spiritual life also, we are trying to apply them without we being conscious about it. Once Radha Govinda Maharaj was mentioning in a class, he said that we are so much used to be in Maya, we started to accept that that is a way of life. Two village people were speaking to each other. One person was explaining to the other person about his own wealth that he has amassed being a farmer. So the other person, he was so much engrossed in this worldly affairs, he couldn't assimilate, he couldn't digest how the other person is claiming himself to be great. So he told him, you are saying X amount is your annual turnover, Do you know that that much amount I am spending for only my medicines? And he was so proud to say that I am spending so much money in my medicines only. What to speak of how much money I have? So Radha Govind Maharaj is, you know, jokingly saying, sometimes even to show ourselves out, to show off to others, we don't even realize we are talking about how poor I am, how sick I am, how degraded I am. And the society is portraying our weakness as the strength. Government is portraying our weakness as the strength. And we as public trying to subscribe, that's the strength. Because we have stooped too low because of we getting used to hypocritical way of life. So hypocrisy has become so integrated in our system that Krishna consciousness subject matter is sounding really non-comprehensible. So the third aspect which makes us an unchaste devotee is about our hypocrisy and duplicity in the place of truthfulness and honesty. When you stand in front of Krishna, we try to be still duplicit to him, not realizing that Krishna sitting in the heart is watching our thoughts and actions. So hence let us not mess around with him. But somehow or other, this has become our way of life. And the last part of, or the fourth aspect, which according to me, which stops us in not being a self-realized soul, is non-existence of selfless and broad-minded association. We have become a selfish, self-centered people and narrow-minded people, that in our lives there is no concept of broad-mindedness and selflessness. And this selfishness has crippled our lives to an extent that we do not want to even share with our own near and dear ones, and we want to exploit every relationship to see to that I am the beneficiary. So if I am not getting the necessary benefit, if I am not getting the necessary pleasure, if I am not getting the necessary enjoyment, I go any extreme and I go give a Krishna consciousness justification to get there. We have seen in ISKCON, this is purely a situational comment. I have personally seen devotees who divorce their marriage to marry a Prabhupada disciple. Their justification is that I want to get association from a Prabhupada disciple. So they do not mind, they would have married another devotee only. I at least know more than 10 such cases, where the justification is, I want to be a wife of Prabhupada disciple so that I can get Prabhupada's mercy. And what do? We divorce our existing devotee. I am not getting into the details of them. I am not trying to, you know, comment on anybody's personal life. But sometimes we become so selfish about our existence. Even in Krishna consciousness, we apply those selfishness, and that cripples our journey in Krishna consciousness. So such subject matters of opulence and sweetness of Lord Krishna becomes uncomprehendable. So my realization about reading Chaitanya Charitamrita is, Chaitanya Charitamrita is a postgraduate study, and to understand Chaitanya Charitamrita, we need to work on a right set of qualification and attitude within ourselves. Otherwise, we will keep reading them in a very, very superficial manner and not able to appreciate what is being told about. I'll just end with only two points. Srila Prabhupada always wanted us to be like a honey bee, but we are always trying to be a fly. Srila Prabhupada gave a bottle of honey in our hand, but we are licking the bottle from outside and saying it is not taste. It's not tasty. We are not knowing to open the bottle and take the contents out. So the subject matter that is going to be dealt in this chapter is as sweet as honey, but it is very nicely packaged in a sealed bottle. Unless we approach this chapter in a very chaste frame of mind, in a very submissive frame of mind, in a very humble state of mind, we will only get a feeling of having a honey bottle in our hand, but we'll go tell everybody that honey is not so tasty, or I am not able to feel the taste of honey. So maybe something wrong. So hence, we need to somehow or other work towards restoring back these four non-existent things. Maybe there may be 40, but I feel these four are four basic things that we need to restore in our lives for us to relish the opulence and sweetness of Lord Krishna. So for as a postgraduate study student, let us try to be serious enough in what we are doing and make the best use of the time that we are spending. And let this not be another philosophical treatise. This is going to be a spiritual transformation agenda. Hence, let us better buckle up and transform ourselves. So these four non-existence in our spiritual life, non-existence of culture of respect and respect for culture, non-existence of morality, quote-unquote transcendental morality, non-existence of truth and honesty, a non-existence of selfless and broad-minded association makes us crippled and makes us not to make the necessary progress that we need. We stand as flies going all the way from filth to stool to urine to foodstuffs, and we are not having any values. But those who are having the characteristics of a honeybee, only trying to look for honey, they will be able to make it to the spiritual abode. That's the character that we are expected of as a student of Chaitanya Charitamrita. And after becoming a student of Chaitanya Charitamrita, if he still holds the honey bottle and licking from outside, then mistake is not on the quality of the honey, it is about the person who is handling them. So we need to make sure that in our journey of Krishna consciousness, we somehow or other become a chaste devotee and then enter the spiritual abode. Otherwise, this mathematical calculation of, you know, tens, hundreds, thousands, millions, 10 million miles of spiritual abode will be inaccessible. But the same spiritual abode will manifest in our own place when we have a Vaishnava in our lives. So hence, Narada Muni is giving a very specific advice to Yudhishthira Maharaj. He says that if somebody is attached to body, somebody is attached to their own family, both of them will go to the darkest region of hell. There is a hell called Raurava, and there is also another hell called Maharaurava. So Narada Muni is explaining to Yudhishthira Maharaj, if somebody is attached to their family, then they go to the place called Raurava. Raurava is a place, there's a snake called Ruru. It's like a family of the snakes. And it stings. When it stings, it is so painful, 1,000 times more painful than a snake bite. And thousands of Ruru snakes are there in the Raurava. We will be put in that when we are attached to our family. And Maharaurava is a place where somebody is attached to their body and not giving importance to spiritual realization. So even after having Krishna consciousness, exposure, association, opportunity, we should not fall into such a trap and eventually move forward in our spiritual journey. So hence, let us be prudent enough in our Krishna consciousness to an extent that we enjoy these transcendental narrations of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So thank you so much. With this, I end here. If there are any questions or comments, we can discuss. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna Prabhu, Dandavat Pranam Thakur, Krishna Prabhupada. Thank you so much for mentioning the class. There is a lot to learn, and we can gauge our situation just by listening to this class where we stand. Thank you so much. It was very, very interesting. And also liked how you were talking about Muni and Mahamuni and about Prabhupada disciples, everything, Prabhu. Very, very important class. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Anybody has any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanat Pranam and Kloris to Shah Prabhupada and Himala.
It's a
very, very, very wonderful class. Prabhu, actually, the qualification, sometimes I really like the point you were telling in the even devotional service, we are thinking so much about our service, our blessing, our kind of things. You gave the example. Yeah, so it happens. Even myself, I feel, I have to save myself. It's just very difficult to come through that selflessness. Can you give some of the things how we can become...
Selfishness is the only reason why we are suffering in this material world. It is definitely difficult, but it is not impossible. The reason is, it's easier when we involve Krishna and Vaishnavas in our lives. If it is difficult, if we try to struggle ourselves to solve it. It is said that if we put the onus on anybody else and blame them, I am selfish because of others. So then we will never be able to make a progress. All the while in this material world, we have been suffering only because of we not taking responsibility of our actions. This is called honorable living. Honorable means we live not because others will appreciate us, others will reward us, others will praise us, others will recognize us. If we try to live because I am answerable, I am dutiful, I am servant of my spiritual master, and it is my constitutional responsibility to be whatever I am. So, that's the Siddhanta part of it. But in a practical sense, to restore selflessness, it's a very interesting situation that we are in, that in spite of knowing that we can't do anything, in spite of knowing it is not ours, in spite of knowing that we won't be able to make it ourselves, we are still selfish. And my personal experience of moving from selfishness to selflessness, that happens when we start building in a basic quality of learning to appreciate. Because selflessness happens by... What is broad-minded actually all about? Broad-mindedness is to learn to see good things in others, learn to recognize good people around us, learn to see positive things around us, and by that way, we will naturally open up and try to accommodate ourselves little more than what we are putting ourselves in a box. So, in our system of Krishna consciousness, we constantly miss this component of appreciation. So appreciation to a Vaishnava helps in two things: not to fault find and also becomes selfless. This fault finding and selfishness are brother sisters or twin brothers. One is existent because of the other. You are selfish, that is why you find fault. If you find fault, you will become selfish. And the solution for both of them is one. We naturally, genuinely learn to inculcate a sense of appreciation. So when we speak about any devotee, when we speak about any situation, how do we start speaking? If you start speaking by saying some positive, some appreciative statement, then there is a hope for our becoming broad-minded. Otherwise, we only remain in the very, like a frog in the well category only, and always remain narrow-minded. Any person who learned to appreciate genuinely, not from the sabha perspective, oh, I am in the forum, so I need to speak some positive words, not like a politician. Appreciation is something coming from the heart genuinely, and this is not flattering, and this is not meant for some formality. This is a genuine, genuine appreciation. Any person who does it will naturally tend to become selfless, because appreciation is against fault finding. The moment fault finding is gone, you will become selfless slowly and broad-minded. And a broad-minded person is qualified enough to enter the spiritual arena, not the selfish person. And we were selfish, that's why we came down here. Am I making sense?
Yes, Prabhu. I can realize that. Connect these things, appreciation. Because that time we can admire, say good things about others. And then otherwise, when we think we are the great and I'm what I'm doing, that is the right. And I'm trying to progress my spiritual life. And somebody is hampering, try to get more blessing. And Prabhupada want to go. Progress, all these things is there, but if there is appreciation, there, these things can be attained.
Appreciation is the mother of many, many, many good qualities. If you learn to appreciate good things, then not only you will get rid of selfishness attitude, you will get to learn many, 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 many positive things. This appreciation is not only within the spiritual context. Learn to appreciate nature. Learn to appreciate good things around us. Learn to recognize how... The reason is, extension of appreciation is seeing Krishna behind. Extension of seeing Krishna behind means identifying everything as Krishna's. Extension of identifying everything as Krishna's is your beginning of devotional life. And if you begin your devotional life with that mindset, for sure you are going to make it to the spiritual abode. So hence, appreciation will give you so many wonderful things. You'll get access to it that, you'll find it easier for practicing Krishna consciousness. But as I said, we have a lot of bad examples of people, flatter devotees or do lip service of appreciation. That is not acceptable. Appreciation should be genuine and not meant for public agenda. It is purely private and heart to heart. Any relationship is like this, you will see broad-mindedness thrive there.
Yes, Prabhu, thank you so much, Prabhu. Also, Prabhu, these things, the concept for respect, respect for concept, this is a very good thing. It means how we can teach our kids from the very beginning with this kind of things, how we can make them...
That's the reason I read this purport 1926. Prabhupada says that culture for respect and respect for culture is restored if this point 1 to 9 that Srila Prabhupada wrote is fully followed. This is, you read 1926. Srila Prabhupada says one cannot be called a civilized person without acquiring the above mentioned preliminary qualities. So these 9 are preliminary qualities. So if you read them, not to become angry, this is culture for respect. Not to lie, respect for culture. To equally distribute wealth, culture of respect and respect for culture. To forgive, to beget children from one's legitimate wife, to be pure in mind and hygienic in body, not to be inimical toward anyone, to be simple, to support servants and subordinates. You see, all those 9 points, they are about culture for respect and respect for culture. So that is the reason in devotee life, it is not only that you teach your children how to chant Bhagavad Gita shlokas. It is not only that you teach some various pastimes. It is not only that you talk about festivals. It is also that you very boldly talk about values, how those values are applied in life, and how those values are need to be inculcated. And this is a very important subject matter to teach. We are writing a full-fledged Sunday school curriculum, and we are making sure that we are trying to give a values-based education into this. Krishna's mercy, if everything goes well, by this Prabhupada's disappearance day, we are going to launch this curriculum for all over ISKCON. This is from ISKCON's Ministry of Education Initiative. I'm keeping my fingers crossed. Hope there are definitely a lot of things to be done. But it's a very interesting, important thing that children need to be taught. Adults need to be taught. All of us need to walk in the path of culture of respect and respect for culture. Okay?
Yes. Prabhu, another point. Prabhu, this ecstasy, so you were telling 3 kind of ecstasy.
Yes.
And then... But the ecstasy of bhakti, it's sometimes as we are ladies, we have to follow. But that when we follow the ecstasy in bhakti, it's how important to follow other ecstasy like
chastity. Yes, chastity as devotee, grihasthas, it's a very tricky, fishy subject matter. Yesterday, we were discussing on this point. Actually, this 6-part series of chastity that I'm referring to, we did a very detailed study on chastity all about. So, the second principle of morality that Srila Prabhupada is talking about is actually talking about, if you see this point, the same purport. For the intelligent men, controlling the senses is the most essential qualification. As grihasthas, we need to learn to regulate our sex life, regulate the way we conduct. So this is about how do we dress, how do we talk, how do we interact, how do we relate with our own near and dear ones, how do we relate with our own life partner, how do we relate in our own consciousness about others? These are all going to count in chastity. It is just chastity is, that's why it's a very intricate subject. And our analysis is, chastity is one quality which is a capsule of 13 qualities. Just by somebody being chaste, he can actually claim that he has inculcated 13 qualities. And in that discussion we mentioned about how we actually drew a flow chart of sambandha, abhideya, prayojana aspect of chastity. So it's a very deep subject, but what I want to say is that in our own devotional life in grihastha ashram, yes, it is tough, yes, it is challenging, but it is also equally important. And this subject matter is something that generally we don't speak because it is tough, and especially when you speak, you are expected to follow, so it is all the more tough. So that's the reason we generally speak Krishna Katha, generally speak about those generic things, and that's fine, it is purifying, it is nice, but some tough topics are need to be spoken about. Yesterday's whole day session in our Sunday evening class was only about illicit sex. We, after taking initiation, we did this 4 vows. But how these 4 vows, 4 regulative principles, are still meaningful even after you become student of Chaitanya Charitamrita. So we spoke a very detailed analysis on illicit sex. Next week we are going to discuss about other, regulative principles. But the point is that it is extremely important we get into the sense of application and activity This is not just a qualification, some external arrangement. Yes, yes, henceforth I will not break any four regulatory principle. No meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling. It is not as, you know, superficial as we state. It is very deep and it means a very much lot. And as you go deeper in Krishna consciousness, maybe when you are a neophyte devotee, this much is good enough. But when you are a student of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada writes here, sex indulgence, even with a legitimate wife, must also be controlled, and thereby family control will automatically follow. So somebody, you know, can say this, oh, this is a very basic topic, people, let us talk serious. This is a very, very serious topic and important topic, and hence, chastity is not so very obviously often spoken about, because this involves conversations which are contradicting to social stigma, contradicting to what even our own devotees believe. Sometimes devotees argue why divorce is important, why contraceptive is important. So many ideologies have crept in our devotee sangha that we have got used to live with it rather than fight against it. So chastity against bhakti, or chastity which is needed to be maintained for bhakti, is supposed to be done seriously. If it is not, then progress will be slow. There's no problem. You know, for sure, you're chanting, you're hearing, you're doing service, it's nice. But if you want to make it faster, if you want to make it steady, if you want to make it consistent, then we need to be, you know, prudent about certain things. Is it okay?
Probably that... Where you? There is live video or anything?
We have a weekly program. I have a recording. I can share that with you.
Yes. Okay. Yes. It would be nice if you share this.
Yeah. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. This is Komalaki Dasi. Is it possible to share on this recording? How would you share on WhatsApp?
No, I will share. This is a six part series lecture on chastity. I will upload somewhere and share, give the link.
Okay, thank you.
We have done four parts so far. Two more are next Sunday and the following Sunday. So I will upload the four parts, and the remaining two I will, as soon as that is done, I will share. Actually, this is, we are discussing Daksha Prajapati's episode. And we are in the second chapter of fourth canto Srimad Bhagavatam. So the way we do every series here in Bombay in our Sangha is that we take a chapter or we take a series and very deeply analyze. So we did the entire Prithu Maharaj, we did the entire Vritrasura. So the entire Vritrasura's first time we did it in 1.5 years. So we go sloka by sloka, maybe set of slokas, and dive deep into it and do a detailed study, not in a hurry, you know. So we are doing like that in the fourth canto, second chapter. The 16th verse of second chapter of fourth canto, Daksha is giving an allegation towards Lord Shiva, saying that my daughter is chaste and I gave to a nasty fellow. And Srila Prabhupada writes the duty of a father, how he needs to bring up his daughter as a chaste girl and how he needs to hand over the daughter to a chaste person. And it's a very nice purport. So, as I mentioned in the Bhagavatam class, this Daksha Prajapati episode is teaching us many, many values. So, we were analyzing this chastity, so I can share that. No problem.
Prabhu, you have so many nice topics already done. And from the Bhagavatam, are they available on YouTube or somewhere?
Well, it's a long pending agenda from my side. Some other devotees are also asking. So I'm in the process of consolidating and uploading them. So I will share that with others. Some of our devotee members are working on putting this together. I've been recording them and just kept it with me for my own purification. But some devotees are getting benefit out of that. So they are there in some place. I'm coming to Baltimore in August. So maybe if it is not uploaded by then, I will give you the physical copy. You can take it. By then, if it is uploaded, I'll give a URL.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji. Very good. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Any other questions or comments?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Yes, Hare.
You mentioned 9 points that you mentioned. Maybe I missed something. You said it is from Srila Prabhupada's purport. What purport is
yes.
that, Prabhu?
1926.
Okay, Prabhuji. Thank you. 1926. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Okay. So we end here. Thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Krishna.